And now, today's word.
Many times we make short-term plans, but God doesn't make short-term plans. Of course, there are things he does in the short term. He can say tomorrow about this time, and in 24 hours, things can change. But sometimes he can say tomorrow, and it's 1,000 years. God's tomorrow is very, very God. It can be 1,000 years, and it can be 24 hours. And because God works across generations, he uses different people across generations. He uses different people across generations. So sometimes for something to happen in the scheme of things relating to God, sometimes for something to happen, he's going to work across generations with different kind of people. And I've put together just a few of the kinds of people God uses. The first people are what I call the planters. The planters. They begin an idea, they sow the seed. They begin it. Like Abraham, he's a planter. God said to him, leave your father's land to the land I'll show you. And he left. He was the original visioner of Israel's future and also of the future of God's people. A planter. And sometimes in your family, you can find people who are planters who thought way ahead. Maybe 100 years ago, you later discover your grandfather or your great-grandfather bought some 2,000 acres of land, 10,000 acres of land. And at the time he was buying it, it was all bush. And he bought it, and later on other people come and build on it. They are planted. They are originators. And many times in our lives, we are planters for other people. And there are people who are also planters for us. Planters are originators. Then the second group are what I call the waterers. Waterers are those who come, they don't plant, but they water. They keep the plant alive. You know, one of the big tragedies of life is that many times all of us want to be planted. We want to be originators. We want to be the one who started and finished it. And so when we come to meet something that has been started, we don't water it because it's not our plant. And one of the tragedies we have for governments in our part of the world is everybody wants to start and finish. I was the one who did this road. I was the one who did that building. I was the one who did this. Of course, the voters are narrow-minded, so they also think narrow, and the politicians are following the voters and thinking narrow. But how can a nation or a people or a family make progress if nobody plants? Or if everybody plants? Because if somebody plants, there must be a generation that waters the plant. Then there are nurturers. The nurturers come and fight for the plant so that it doesn't die. Now, all these waterers and nurturers, they are not planters. They didn't start anything original, but they made sure the plant did not die. And then the fourth group is what I call the reapers. The reapers are the ones whom everybody celebrates. They are the ones who run the anchor leg in a relay. They get the baton at the last minute and run very fast, and everybody sees them go and breast the tape. But before they started running, somebody started and handed over to another person and handed over to another person and handed over to them. Now, we have to understand that there are things that God will use you to plant, but there are also things God will use you just to water. And there are things God will use you to nurture. And there are things you will come, you didn't plant, you didn't water, you didn't nurture, all you came is to reap. That's what happens. It's like in football, the people who score the goals. The movement starts from the back. A defender picks the ball, makes the right pass. And then it goes somewhere in the midfield. And then it goes to an attacking midfielder. And then somebody goes, slots it in at the end. He didn't pick the ball from the beginning. We tend to celebrate the reapers and forget the planters, the waterers, and the nurturers. But if we're going to achieve anything in life, we have to remember that there will be planters, and you may not be a planter. Somebody started. Your job is to ensure this good idea does not die. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. This is the final instruction to Israel as they're going to the promised land. It says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then Joshua chapter 24, verse 13. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. This is God speaking to the reaping generation. He's saying to Israel, you're going to the land. But this is a promise I gave to Abraham. Abraham is the planter. Isaac, Jacob, they watered the plant. Moses nurtured it and ensured that that plan would stay on track. And then Joshua comes. He didn't plant. He didn't water. He didn't nurture. All Joshua did is to reap the promises. Four generations, each one playing their role. And God says, I'm taking you to a place you didn't suffer for. If you think you are successful and it's all because of you, you're narrow-minded. You went to school and you did well. But have you forgotten what your father did? Maybe your father was an illiterate, but he had a plan. And he said, every child of mine will go to school. And he sacrificed everything. Now you go to school and you are doing so well and you think you are brilliant. But if nobody had been ahead of you to sow the seed, where would your brilliance be? The same way, there are things we don't have that we are planting for our children to reap. There are things we don't have that we are planting for our grandchildren to reap. Because our job is to understand that God is a generational God. And he uses different kinds of people. He uses planters, he uses waterers, and he uses other people. So Joshua's generation inherited the promise of Abraham's generation. Then 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 7 to 10. This is Solomon speaking. He says, now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David, and I sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Solomon built the temple that David desired and planned for. Solomon didn't have a plan to build a temple. In fact, if it was left to Solomon, I don't think any temple would be built. Because as we get to know about his character, he was a playboy. But before he was born, his father had a plan, a vision. I'm going to build a temple for God. Solomon, if it was left to him, would build temples for other gods and not to the God of Israel. Because his lifestyle showed that that was not his priority. But the priority was set by David. It was in David's heart. And not only was it in David's heart, he bought the land where the temple must be built. And not only that, he drew the plans for the temple. And not only that, he raised the money for the temple. But God says, you've done all of these things, but you're not going to build it. You've done all the hard work. It's like a government that has a nice plan and goes and does the plan and raises the money and does everything and initiates the plan, but they don't finish it. The next government comes and finishes it. And we all say the next government has done better. But we forget there was a David before there was a Solomon. It's a continuity. It's a continuity. If we don't think about it that way, everybody will selfishly want to plant and nobody will water. So Solomon comes, and contrary to his own playboy image, his priorities were wrong. But because a generation had planned, prepared, drew the plans, and had raised the money, all he needed to do was put all the resources together. In fact, even the letters to the people who should supply wood, all of that, he wrote the letters and said, my father had already made arrangements for these things. David did everything but execute. And Solomon came and executed. That is why when you read the Bible, it doesn't call it the Temple of Solomon. It calls it the Temple of David. Although he didn't build it, it was the Temple of David. If we don't think generationally that way, we will all be first leg runners and there'll be no finishers. Concluding thoughts. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, 22. A good man. I think we can add the women too. We can add the women. A good person or a good man, a good woman, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So two ways in which we reap what we did not sow, according to Proverbs 13. One is reaping the rewards of a generational blessing. That's what I have spent much of my time talking about. Reaping the rewards of a generational blessing. Solomon, Joshua, all of them reap the rewards of a generational blessing. And may God help us to live an inheritance for our children's children. And if you don't have any biological children, leave an inheritance for your nephews and your nieces. And if you don't have nephews and nieces, leave it for the church. Yes. Wouldn't it be nice for somebody to say, listen, I'm leaving this inheritance, ensure that every child who comes to this church will have a good education. And I've endowed their school fees to infinity. That's what it means. So although you may not be here, your money will be educating people. Your money will be paying the hospital bills of people. Your money will be helping people. We leave an inheritance for the future. The pastor says your children's children, but not everybody has a child. Doesn't mean you don't leave an inheritance. You must leave an inheritance. You have nephews, you have nieces, you have cousins, you have brothers and sisters. You have friends. You have your church. You have community. Leave an inheritance that keeps speaking for you after you are gone. So that's the first one. But there's a second one that the passage talks about. It says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. In other words, the wicked people also gather. But when they gather, God piles it up and piles it up and piles it up and looks for the right person and transfers it to them. It's called the transfer of wealth from the wicked. And may the Lord give us transfer of wealth from the wicked. Bad, wicked people. Evil people. May God give us their wealth. But don't go around standing in people's houses and say, this is a wicked man. I claim your wealth. No, no, no. That's not. No, no, no. You don't go claiming it. It says it will be laid for you. If it is for you, it will come to you. If it's not for you, leave him alone to enjoy his money. All right. But the important thing is we lay blessing for generations, and even people who are evil invest into God's plan. Because money they didn't intend for righteous cause will end up being used for righteous cause. You know, then sometimes God is able to, money has no moral value. I mean, the money you have today, if you have money in your pocket, do you know who had it before you had it? Maybe the last place it was, it came from armed robbery. And there you are holding the money. Does it mean you are an armed robber? No. The money came from armed robbery, but it's in your pocket. And you can now use it for righteous cause. So sometimes people may even acquire money from a wrong source, but God can find a way to use that money for a righteous purpose. The wealth of the wicked is stored for the righteous. So, as we conclude our series, God is able to give you what you didn't labor for. And may you get cities that you did not build, vineyards that you didn't plant, furniture that you didn't acquire. May God give you transgenerational blessing, transgenerational favor, transgenerational opportunity, transgenerational impact. May it be upon you, upon your children, upon your children's children. May God raise up planters for you. May God raise up waterers for you. May God raise up nurturers for you. May God raise up reapers for you. Wherever you find yourself in this continuum of God's blessing, may you walk in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. And beyond that, may you live a righteous life. And may God see you as a receptacle for the wealth of the wicked. So that when wicked people plan and do evil, and they gain by evil, God will find a way to transfer that wealth to you. May you be an inheritor of wealth, and may money in your hand do good. Wealth in your hand do good. Wealth in your hand change situations. Wealth in your hand be a blessing. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that each one of us will be worthy of your blessing. We'll be worthy of the inheritance you give to us, that we will not waste the opportunities that you give to us, that we will be true gatherers of your blessing, of your favor, of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.
Since the beginning of press freedom in Africa, Ghana has seen a troubling decline in media freedom, falling from 30th position in 2021 to 62nd in 2023 on the World Press Freedom Index. Threats and attacks on journalists are on the rise. Disinformation and misinformation are spreading rapidly, especially with the 2024 general elections approaching. Joy News, in collaboration with the Center for Democratic Development, CDD Ghana, and the Embassy of Denmark, together with other key stakeholders, invites you to a national media freedom dialogue under the theme Defending Media Freedom. Join us on the 29th of August, 2024, at the Nat Hall in Accra at 4 p.m. as we discuss these critical issues. Hear from key stakeholders, including Honorable Fatima Abubakar, Minister of Information, as we mobilize collective action to restore and safeguard media freedom in Ghana. It is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Joy News, myjoyline.com, and streaming on YouTube and Facebook. Defending media freedom. Be part of the change. Be part of the solution.
Get way more chances to play with Betway. Every week, you have the choice to pick your prize, from free flights to free spins. Also, you can make the perfect play. Plus, you also stand a chance to choose your own prize, from vouchers to electronics or the grand prize of an airline ticket. All of this exclusive to Betway. Terms and conditions apply. Regulated by the Gaming Commission of Ghana. Bet the responsible way. Betway. Get way more.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricant. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricant, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricant that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
Joy 99.7 FM.